Welcome to the Queensland Economy Watch special coronavirus edition. My name's Gene Tunney. Joining me today is Marcus Smith from the Chamber of Commerce and Industry Queensland, CCIQ. Marcus, how are you going?
Yeah, very well, Gene. Great to chat again.
Excellent. Great to chat with you, Marcus. It was only last Sunday that we chatted, but so much has happened since then. It seems like months or years ago that we chatted. It's extraordinary the amount of change we've seen in just that short period. On Monday, I received this text message from my club. In light of the government's announcement, we will be closing the club and all its facilities from midday today. Further details will be provided via email shortly. Thank you for your support. That's a message from the Tattersalls Club on Monday morning, following the PM's announcement on Sunday night that pubs and clubs would be closed, cafes would only be open for takeaway. I think it was announced that gyms would close as well, and we've had some further restrictions since then. We've seen huge numbers of people applying for the new job seeker payment. In the US, we've seen a spike in unemployment too, a 10x number of unemployment claims, over 3 million in 1 week. We've seen this awful data from the US. We'll be seeing similarly bad data in Australia when that comes out. Marcus, just how bad could this get?
Yeah, absolutely disastrous. The things we're hearing on the ground now with the closures, the businesses having to lay their staff off, and you know, we're a small business state, and it's just harrowing that you know, a lot of the small business owners have had to lay off, you know, their staff who the small business operators, you know, that's their family, you know, having these tough decisions. We've got business owners in tears and the uncertainty. They don't know what to do. The government have announced all of the raft of packages and everything. So it's at the moment it's just bedlam trying to work out and navigate through how they can get assistance. You know, worried about how they're going to be able to operate, having no certainty about when they can, return operations and open up again. They've got essentially no income. They've got, rent to pay. They've got insurance to pay. Government charges, which thankfully they've been put on hold as well. The banks have come through and provided suspension of loan payments, which has been good. But all in all, it's tragic, and it definitely, when we were starting to talk about 10% unemployed, and then you're starting to see the 20-30%, like the depression. It's at the moment, that's how it feels, how it's going to evolve.
Well, that's certainly the case. I mean, this looks like it'll be deeper than the 91 recession for sure, and we got up to 11% unemployment during the 91 recession, as I'm sure you remember. I'm certainly old enough to remember that. And just seeing what's happened so far, so that decision that the government made on that it announced on Sunday night, automatically you could see at least 300,000 people out of work across Australia, 50,000 in Queensland. But since then, we've had further job losses announced, haven't we? So there've been announcements of it from, I guess, Qantas and Virgin and Flight Centre. So tens of thousands of retailers too that are shutting up. And then there's going to be all the flow-on impacts across the economy. So do you have a feel yourself as to where we could end up? I mean, are we talking 15%, 20%, even worse? Do you actually have a feel for that, Marcus?
Well, at the moment, the feeling is it's going to be very bad. To be able to throw numbers around it, the economy is essentially going to completely close. Apart from, as you mentioned, a few outlets being able to deliver takeaways. Maybe the liquor outlets will obviously stay open. There'll be riots on the street if they shut those, I think, over the period. The supermarkets, it's good that Woolworths, I saw, announced they were hiring 20,000 people. So, because this is essentially where all the spending is going at the moment. but that's the whole issue, you know. For Queensland in particular, you know, 10% of 9.3% of trend employment's in retail, and I don't think Coles, Woolworths, and Aldi and the grocery stores are going to be able to provide that employment to you know, to provide some sort of relief there.
Exactly. So what we're going to have is all of the specialty stores will essentially shut, won't they? So I've seen, you know, images of Chermside, and no one's at Chermside, or very few people are at Chermside. People are just going to the supermarket. People aren't going to go shopping for clothes or books. So a lot of those stores will end up having to shut. I should check this and put this in the show notes, but do you have a feel for how many people Coles and Woolies employ? I guess you were trying to suggest that despite their increases in employment, that won't be enough to offset the big losses you'll see in other parts of retail. Is that what you were saying, Marcus? Well,
exactly. The numbers around how many Coles and Woolworths and the super, the grocery stores, supermarkets essentially employ, we can't break it down to I haven't been across, you know, company-wide to read through those reports. But when you're talking about, you know, this is before the crisis, you know, 40% of retail trade being in the food retailing sector, predominantly in supermarkets and grocery stores and liquor outlets. You know, when it's 40% of those sales, you could imagine, you know, the degree of you know, the percentage of employment within that industry sector.
Okay. So even so, just with the numbers you've been suggesting, so across Australia we could be talking about hundreds of thousands of job losses across retail, adding to the hundreds of thousands in hospitality, and we've got, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands in other sectors. So we're pretty easily getting up to a million jobs lost, and that's similar to what the government is expecting, isn't it? I think the government's expecting an additional 1 million people to be going on to their job seeker payments. So we're talking, on those figures of probably 15% unemployment at least. And I've seen some.
Where you start from.
I think Jeff Borland suggesting it could be even much higher. But again, no one really knows just how bad this could be. So much depends on how long it lasts. Marcus, you mentioned that small business owners they're obviously very distressed. Is this something that CCIQ is hearing? You're hearing from people,
certainly
on the ground. Yeah, okay,
certainly. We've been inundated with new members reaching out for help about how to navigate this. In particular, you know, in the shutdown, how to deal with you know, with staffing arrangements and how they can navigate that. You know, with such a complex area of what HR is, you know, it's been distressing. It's going to be a bloodbath across our small business sector.
Okay, so we've had various rescue packages announced, and the state government here announced a $4 billion package earlier this week, and there was some relief on payroll tax.
Yes.
Would you be able to take us through what they did there, please, Marcus, and what CCIQ thinks of that package, please?
Certainly. Essentially, when you're looking and breaking down the payroll relief, there was a 2 months of refunds, then followed by 3 months amnesty as well of not paying, and then you've got 6 months deferral after that. So no one will be paying any payroll tax until the end of the year. CCIQ worked closely with the government and advocated to have some sort of payroll relief there for those employing industries those employing businesses that will continue, those medium sized that will continue to operate over that period. The thing when you break it down though, because we are a small business state and half of our business, our 457,000 businesses in the state are sole operators, But when you're starting to look at, you know, the proportion, there are about 24,000 businesses between 1.3 and 6.5 million payroll. From, you know, when you start to look at the value the government gave and the and then at $9,000 on average, that backs out 24,000 businesses, which is will be affected. But essentially, when you're looking at up to 2 million in payroll in turnover, for businesses, so there's 427,000 businesses out of that 457 that are sitting under 2 million in turnover. And when you can make the assumption then that they're the businesses that won't see anything from those payroll reforms at all. They won't see any relief, you know, because when you're talking about starting with the 1.3 million, that's 65% of 2 million in turnover. So those businesses, I don't think there would be many of them running at labour costs being essentially 65% of their revenue. So based on those calculations, you can just see the magnitude of businesses that haven't seen anything through that particular, which was a major economic reform there, that of the stimulus package. Then we're looking at $500 for electricity for operators. That will affect all businesses for there. But you know, for electricity, you've got to be operating for starters. Where that's going to go, I'm not sure. There's also things around apprentices and training and those sort of other ancillary measures as well with regards to that. But that sort of sums up the state government has finally come out and it is the largest package relative to the other states. But I think it's fair to assume the other states will move with something else, a follow-up very shortly as well, when you've got, you know, I think 1.7 billion was announced by Victoria initially, and then 1.6 by New South Wales. So you can probably see a little bit of new work coming in there to try and boost those packages over time.
Yep. Would you know if your people, so Stephen Tait, your CEO, Amanda Rohan, your general manager, are they pushing for additional assistance to be provided by state government and federal government?
We're definitely at the moment. So I've been in meetings with the Australian Chamber in our Economic Committee that we've set up, and we've been this morning we sent a letter to the federal government around the wage subsidy and how that might look for businesses that are continuing to hire at the moment. But also you've got the businesses that are shut down that are facing, as I said, that problem about rent. So that really has to be sorted as well, because a wage subsidy won't help anyone who's not operating at the moment. And some sort of relief. They're going to have to deal with that going forward. Whether I know Amanda has been working with a number of other with the property councils and et cetera, to come up with some sort of way with the state government as well, or to come up with some sort of way to provide relief for that rent, some sort of means to be able to maybe put that on hold for some period of time, but that might be a number of measures where the government will have to look at budget and adjusting and providing obviously relief for people like Stockland and Westfield and other tenants and other land owners. So essentially going forward, we're working very hard in that space to try and ensure that, you know, the business owners that have been forced to close and have had their business closed, that they've given some relief from having to try and find money to pay these operating costs.
Sure. I think the PM has suggested there will be some movement with regard to rent, won't there? So they're working through mm-hmm. possible solutions. I saw the PM's press conference earlier today. Okay, look, that's good to know that your people are very closely involved in the policy response. I think that's important. because it's challenging when you're in government because you are a bit detached from it all at times. Yeah. So it's good when you do have that that industry input. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this will be my final question, Marcus. I'll just tell a little bit of a story. So earlier this week I had my hairdresser, so the Esquire Male Grooming in Tattersall's Arcade, they rang up and basically said that they're going to shut down until Easter. So I'll have to rebook after Easter. So initially, like I think it was only a few days before, or it might have been last week, they rescheduled an appointment I had because they were reducing their hours, and only a few days later, they're basically shutting down until after Easter. And I think there have been a lot of concerns with the signals being sent by government. It wasn't, I think a lot of hairdressers have been concerned about the rules that were being applied to them, and there are a lot of concerns from business about just these rules that have been put in place around social distancing. They're not very practical in some circumstances. What does business generally think about the rules that have been put in place, and do they think that the government, do they have any views on the government's current strategy? Are there businesses that are pushing for more closures, for a clearer direction from government? I know that hairdressers have come out and said that they would actually like the government, well, at least one hairdresser came out and said, we want the government to just, you know, close us down for a short period. It would be easier for us. So do you have any, have you been picking up anything from businesses regarding their thoughts on the overall strategy?
Well, at the moment, they're just all in shock, and you know, it's survival mode for a lot of them. You know, they're having to make that decision whether they will or whether they actually will when things turn around and things we start to see some sort of normality and get on top of it, whether they will even open again. You know, which is a concern because I looked at the bankruptcies the other day in the state. I mean, before the crisis for the year 2019 calendar year to December, there were 1,607 insolvencies, company insolvencies, which is a run rate of 4.4 a day. You know, you've got, if you look at the survival rates of businesses in Queensland, from 2015 to 19, that five-year period, that's only about 64%. And new entrants over that time, it was much lower at 53%. So, you know, it's when you're looking at how difficult it is to do and whether this is why it's so important that they need to cushion businesses and do the best they can. And we've talked about that hysteresis and you know, everyone is starting to talk about it now. You can't just shut the economy down and it's just going to bounce back and turn it, you know, flick it back on like a light. So businesses themselves, are, at the moment, they're just trying to navigate through the packages and what's available to them. I know a lot of them that have essentially business owners where they have put out, you know, well, sole traders and business owners that have shut down can then go on to the and onto the new start. But the thing they didn't mention was that that's been tested. So if you've got a partner or, you know, it comes on your household earnings. So if your other partner's earning, you know, if you're earning more than $1,075 a week, then you're not eligible. So, you know, essentially for them to be able to keep their businesses sort of, you know, in hibernation, and it's not like you just, for most small businesses and especially the employing ones, it's not like they won't be working on their business over the time of the closure, you know, but they'll have no financial support there. So we have to really look at whether they've, you know, that policy was really thought through very well. I think there's a lot of work there to do around, you know, that's the thing. It's when it hits the ground you know, and the logistics of it all, you know, which will evolve over time. But I'm sure there's a lot of people, you know, frustrated. I don't think anyone's going to be out there with the instant asset write-offs, you know, with business investment and capital expenditures. I don't, you know, and looking to employ more people. I think at the moment it's from what I can see and what I hear, It's just survival at the moment, and just trying to navigate what is available to me, because we've heard a lot of the businesses are really, that's why they've come to us. We're like, what is available to us? Reading through all of this, how can you help? And that's essentially where our focus has been. And we've been very busy this last week at CCIQ, trying to help those businesses that have come to us.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hibernation, that's the term that is being used at the moment to talk about businesses. You get this image of a bear going into a cave to hibernate for the winter, but that could last months. Could businesses actually survive for months?
That's the question.
I'm not sure they can. I don't know. I don't know what the exit strategy is here. This is why people are talking about cove exit. How do we actually get out of this? So I can understand. This is why the PM is saying, look, be careful what you wish for. And there are people pushing for a stronger lockdown. I've been thinking that's what we really need to do to get on top of this, to get it over as quickly as possible. But look, I don't know. I've not seen the medical advice that the PM is, but it's going to be really hard. If we're talking months, we are going to see lots of businesses not reopen. We're going to see a lot of people without work. And it's just going to be a tough few years recovering from it. I remember, you probably do too, just how long it took for Australia to recover from that 91 recession. I mean, it took at least several years, and this is the reason that Keating won in 93, because the country still hadn't fully recovered from the recession, and so people were concerned about the GST. Mm-hmm. So, look, I mean, it could be a really prolonged recovery from this when we get to the other side.
And I think when we've spoken before about, especially when I talked to some of the other economists as well, like when we had the GFC, and it was a completely different, it was a financial crisis. We were trying to prevent it becoming an economic crisis. This is an economic crisis, which I think will certainly become a financial crisis as well very shortly when you were talking about, I saw them talking about, with respect to getting assistance for some of these countries from the IMF and everything. I don't know if you saw some of that sort of macro discussions going on today, but a lot of the countries, particularly over our side of the world, are quite worried about whether whether their countries are going to go insolvent, whether they're going to be able to pay their debts. But I think coming out of that GFC, the getting back to it being a financial crisis, moving to an economic crisis, there they were able to stimulate and provide those payments to get out there and for people to consume, and they did. You're giving people money, but there's nowhere to spend it. So consumption makes up by far the largest component of GDP. And essentially it's being shut down. I think we're heading for a recession. I think we can be pretty sure of that. This how bad this unemployment is it's going to be bad. When you can start to throw any numbers around it at the moment, I think it would be crystal ball gazing. But we know it's going to be bad.
Oh, exactly. I think you just dropped out for a minute there, but I got the gist of what you were saying. That's been good, mate. I mean, it's a terrible time to be chatting, but look, I think there was a lot of useful information that we covered there. So really grateful for that. The important point is that businesses are in survival mode, and so our policymakers have to be thinking about how we can make sure that as many businesses get through this challenging period as possible. And it's good to see that they are, and it's good to see that organisations such as CCIQ is involved in those policy responses. So thanks for chatting today.
Yeah, thanks, Gene. Anytime at all. Always great to chat.
Excellent. Thanks, Marcus.